great mercy and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today is taken from our lesson, chapter 2 of Acts and verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayer. I'm sure each of us has at some time or another, on many occasions perhaps, observed an individual with unusual intellectual achievement remark, "That man, that woman is a genius." Admittedly, God grants gifts to men in varying forms and degrees. Some are capable of unusual concentration, some are not. Some work very rapidly, others slowly and painstakingly. One thinks, for example, of the difference between a Beethoven and a Mozart. A Beethoven who labors slowly, putting one note to another and changing and going back and revising, taking years of time to complete a symphony. Contrasting that with a Mozart who himself in his lifetime lived some 20 years less than Beethoven, yet wrote 4 or 5 times as many symphonies. The one that I consider personally to be the greatest of his symphony in C major, having been completed in no more than 15 days. Both of these men, geniuses, but how vast the difference. Likewise, in literature, in science, in medicine, in other fields of endeavor. Almost nothing has been accomplished in this world with enduring value without someone being steadfast in its work. Steadfastness, perseverance, a tremendously important quality. Most scholars, for example, would have to admit the validity of the words of Henry Willard Austin, as he writes, "Genius, that power which dazzles mortal eyes, is oft the perseverance in disguise." Hence, we're not at all surprised to note in our text for today that one of the characteristics displayed by the early church following Pentecost, as it began its work of turning the world upside down, was steadfastness. In our text, the RSV translates the words, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine and so forth." The word being translated here is katereo, which really means to adhere with strength to something. The fact that it happens to be in the imperfect tense is stressing the idea of continuing. The New Father, for example, translates the word, "They met constantly in order to," and so forth. So we're not surprised at all that this word is used of a small band of individuals who literally turned the world right side up for God. These men, filled with the Holy Spirit on this day of all days, the day of Pentecost, these people devoted themselves, gave themselves over to, were steadfastly adhering to the apostles' doctrine, to the fellowship, the koinonia, the breaking of bread and the prayer. And that doctrine, that apostolic doctrine was. You look at the second chapter, the entire second chapter of the book of Acts. Read again, in your own private devotion, that inspired sermon of St. Peter. Look at the doctrine he passed into no more than that which would fill about 2 pages of our Greek New Testament. Again and again in that passage, he quotes the Old Testament, showing that the apostles based their teaching upon the authority of the Word of God. Within the small compass of that brief sermon stretch, or outline that we have in the book of Acts, we find St. Peter referring to doctrines such as the providence of God, certainly, as you know, the emphasis upon the crucifixion of Christ, his resurrection, the lordship of Christ, his messianic role, the doctrines of repentance and forgiveness. Predestination is there. The sociality of baptism. These and many other doctrines taught in that one brief sermon. But let's remember that it was these people who devoted themselves to that doctrine who again and again realized the value of the death of Jesus Christ for their sins, his resurrection for their justification. That was impressed upon them as they devoted themselves, adhered tenaciously to that doctrine. And it's no less true today. One of the most effective ways of losing the faith is neglect. One of the surest ways of canceling out the dynamic of the word is to let it gather dust on our shelf. They devoted themselves not only to the doctrine, but to the fellowship, the koinonia. Luther writing, as you remember, on the gospel in the small called article speaks of the mutual conversation and consolation of brethren. Chapter 4 of the book of Acts, the author Luke says, "Now the company of those who believed were of one heart and soul. The major thrust of their lives was on the positive, not on the negative. They were not engaged in tearing down one another, but rather building one another up, edifying each other in the one precious faith." There's also that the fellowship was further manifested in their participation in the breaking of the bread, presumably the sacrament of the altar, and in the devotion to prayer, the prayers, mainly their corporate and their individual worship life. These people knew what people throughout the ages have learned, that the way to grow in grace is to be constantly in touch with and involved in the means of grace which God has ordained. My brethren and my sisters, why is this not true of us? Why is it that we neglect these very things? I think one of the saddest things that happened to me in the last few months is when a pastor of one of our former students came up to me and said, "You know, he's a fine young man, very effective in youth ministry, but you know, I sure wish he would remember the address of his church." What do you mean by that? Simply this, he said, he almost never goes to church. He might have been active in youth ministry, but what kind of an example was he setting? When he proved that for him, worship, corporate worship, the hearing of the word of God was not important. In recent Timothy L. Meade's prayer, the survey was discussed that indicated that among evangelical Christians, the average person spends 3 minutes or less a day in conscious prayer. Contrast that with the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, whose very life rest seems to be characterized by prayer. It's in Paul, he says, on one occasion, "Pray without ceasing." A recent joint faculty meeting of our two seminaries focused on the spiritual formation of our students, their growth in grace and in knowledge of Christ. There were no easy answers forthcoming. But isn't it the next not if be true But a major part of the answer lies in each one of us devoting ourselves, adhering steadfastly to the apostles' doctrine, the fellowship, the breaking of the bread, and the prayer. The world, the flesh, and the devil are laid against us. And I say, it is not easy, I know from experience, it is not easy to arise at 5 or 6 in the morning, to spend an hour or two in the reading of the word, in meditation, meditatio, in prayer. It's not easy to do that. The world, the flesh, the devil are tearing us away from that sort of thing. It's so much easier to lie in bed. It's not easy to devote some time, whatever time it is, each day, without faith, to this sort of devotion. It's not easy to do. But we serve one who, according to Luke, steadfastly kept his faith to go up to Jerusalem. And why? He set his face steadfastly, or as a flint, to go to Jerusalem, to suffer, to bleed, to die, for my sins, for your sins, of apathy, of lethargy, of inconstancy, of slothfulness, our sins of neglect of the word and the sacrament. We come therefore this day to the very Lord of glory himself. We claim the forgiveness that he purchased for us at so great a price upon the cross. And as by faith we reach out and touch the hem of his garment in word and sacrament, virtue and power from him is granted to us. We're confident that he who works within us both to will and to do according to his good pleasure will give us the strength to apply ourselves steadfastly to the apostles' doctrine, the fellowship, the breaking of the bread, and the prayer. For our growth and grace, for our eternal good, and for the honor and for the glory of his name. Amen. Let us rise.